Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, Carver High, you hear that, steaks, chicks, stacks, and all that. I just want to give you an early nod tonight, what I've got going in the oven. I've got the bourbon pork loin going. You got the bourbon covered and soaked in bourbon, the pork tenderloin. Also, on a side piece, a teriyaki-dipped loin. I got two flavors rocking tonight in the oven. Steaks, chicks, stacks, loins. Let's get it in.
Yeah, you got to add loins to the list. That's good. You got a couple of good flavors there. You always love when you get the teriyaki involved. It's a solid choice, especially when you're dealing with the little pork loin situation over there at the Forella Palatial. We continue on now, Scotty, into the Mariners and the Yankees. Of course, when we left coast to coast yesterday, the Yankees were once again sputtering and not scoring runs. We left, and then they did score a couple, getting Higgy with it, had a two-run homer for the Yankees. Aaron Judge hit number 45 to give them a lead. But, unfortunately, the bullpen, Scotty, could not get it done. Bottom of the seventh, Carlos Santana on Root Sports.
Santana to right field, back and bombs away! Go ahead, seventh inning, two-run take, Carlos Santana!
You know, it is beyond me how they go out there every single year without fail. And you said it the other day, the, you know, Oakland, Anaheim, Seattle. I mean, it is such a disaster. Every time they go, they've lost this series now. They lost two of three. They lost 1-0 in 13 innings. And, you know, the announcers acted like they'd won the World Series. But, I mean, are they going to come limping home or what? They have played anemic baseball over, let's just call it what it is, the last 30 games.
They're not even going home. They got to go to Fenway tomorrow. So they're actually passing home. They're flying over home to go to Fenway for the weekend as part of this extremely long road trip. But
I'm at East Coast.
Maybe
they're getting out of the West.
Maybe that's not a bad thing, considering how the Red Sox have been playing, Scotty. That might not be the worst thing in the world to go up there to Fenway and maybe get a crack at that pitching, because they've been so bad over the past couple of weeks. You did send me the story about O'Neill. He obviously doesn't do the games in New York. He does them at home. They're having this ceremony for him with his number being retired and all that. He shouldn't be getting his number retired anyway. And that's coming from a big Yankee fan like myself. He shouldn't be.
Well, let me ask you. Do you think that he does a good job even though he's not there? He's done every game on a split screen, green screen, at his house, watching the games on satellite television, whatever, and he calls the games. Have you been able to tell that he's not in the Bronx?
95% of the time, you cannot tell that he's not there. You really
he's
can't.
Really good.
He's very good. Of course, there are things that when something major happens, you can tell that he's not there. You know, that's just It just is what it is. There are times and small instances where you do know that he's not in the ballpark, but I think that they've been very upfront with letting you know he's not in the ballpark. Right. They've let you know he's not there. So and they always have somebody else when he does the game too, whether it's Cone or whoever.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Yankees have fumbled? We welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Great to have you with us. So the essence of what I'm saying is the old-timers game, how embarrassing that they rolled these geezers out there and wouldn't let them play. They let them sign autographs and wave at people. And now they've got a Paul O'Neill night where they're making him stand out on the field with his family like in a cage so that they don't sneeze on anyone. He's not allowed to go anywhere near the players. He's not allowed to go in the dugout, the clubhouse, the broadcast booth, nothing. He's just going to stand with his wife and kids on the field. It's what are the Yankees front office doing with these botched events?
They've done a bad job. Now, Yankee Old Timers Day, the press release for who was going to be there used to be like 6 pages long. Like, you'd get the press release about Yankee Old Timers Day, and the names would just go down the list. I mean, guys that you played 1 year for the Yankees, they'd invite him to Old Timers Day. Now, they had this thing 2 weeks ago. They didn't even play, like you said. They only had a few people come out and give you a wave. It's embarrassing what they've done the last few years. And look, they've turned that center field now. Say, I love Paul O'Neill. They've turned center field into the Hall of Very Good as well. There's too many guys now. They're handing out numbers, retired numbers like Tic Tacs out there. You shouldn't be getting his number retired.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, honestly, he came up big for them during their run. But the retiring his number like he was Babe Ruth or something. And let's face it, he wasn't.
Look, there's only a few guys on that team who should have their number retired, and they have those. There's no reason to add more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, Carver, hi. It looks like the Dodgers may never lose another game.
They may never lose another game is right. Every single night, the Dodgers win now, Scotty. Not only they win, I mean, they beat teams up every single night. Every win during this streak has been by two or more runs. They don't even play close games anymore. That's how good the Dodgers have been. Last night, they were losing for a little while, but then got it going. They beat the Twins 8-5. Out in Los Angeles. Big night, Scotty, for Joey Gallo. That's right. His first homer as a member of the Dodgers. Here it is on Sportsnet LA.
And he makes contact. It's loud. It is far. It is gone.
I think that was a dig that he made contact because that's the first time he's hit a ball with his bat in 3 months. I mean, this guy, I stand by what I said. I do not believe for 1 minute that guy will last with the Dodgers. And I also think he's the worst baseball player I've ever seen in my life. He is the worst hitter I've ever seen in my life. He hits a home run every 3 months, whatever. I always have said, if you get 600 at bats a year, you're gonna hit 25 home runs. I mean, if you play every day and they give you 5 at-bats, you're bound to hit one out once in a while. That's what this guy does. He's a hack. I don't care what anybody says. He won't last with the Dodgers.
So last night he hits the home run, big 3-run shot. They win 8-5. So first they interviewed him on the field on Sportsnet LA. They asked him about the crowd cheering him, and he made the comment, "Man, it's been a long time since I haven't had somebody boo me." So that was the first little comment. Now here's him in the locker room.
He deserved it.
Had a lot to say about going to L.A., and honestly, some of it, hard to argue with him. Here's Joey Gallo.
Do you feel more relaxed now that you can grow the beard out?
It helps not having to shave all the time, for sure. It was always tough to okay. That's belly, yeah. All right, belly, relax. It's just nice not having to shave all the time, for sure. But I like having a beard, usually. A little bit of facial hair, at least. I never have any hard feelings about that. I didn't do my job up to my abilities. But it's always nice to have a fresh start. So just like a new relationship, you know, it's nice. And like I said, it's good weather, good group of guys. I can't complain.
I thought I read that you didn't go out much. You didn't like going out much. So what's that like to be able to just breathe here and just walk the streets outside?
Yeah. I'm living by the beach right now, so that's pretty nice compared to New York. And no offense to New York, but I was living in a small apartment for the same price. So it's pretty nice to be by a beach and have some waves and some sand and people walking around in flip-flops and whatnot. But it's definitely a little more laid-back environment. And that's just the difference of different cities, you know, in general. So I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I have to tell you, like, there is no comparison. I live there. I'm still mad. I've been here for 23, 24 years in New York City. I'm still angry. I'm just a angry guy living here, stressed out. I got people shooting people getting murdered, people getting raped. It's crazy here. And when I lived in Huntington Beach, I saw chicks in bikinis every day smoking doobies and riding surfboards with blonde, bleached out hair. And they smell good even when they don't smell good. Everybody smells good there. The coconut oil, it's just, you don't wear any clothes. It's laid back. And I live in, you know, in hell. I don't care what anybody says. This place is, you want to die quickly, move to New York City. I mean, you age... Every year is like 5 years. It's like dog years. You know what I mean? It's that guy right there was the spitting image of the difference between New York and LA. He couldn't get out of here fast enough. They rode him like a hooker in New York. That guy and Ed Whitson, the two worst Yankees ever.
Look, the guy was absolutely awful for the Yankees. Nobody is going to dispute that. It was a bad move. It didn't work out.
He doesn't even dispute it.
He doesn't dispute it either. And that's where I was just going to say, like, sometimes guys, and we've seen it, they're just not built to play in New York City. And nothing against Joey, but he just admitted it. Like, he's one of those guys. He prefers the laid-back atmosphere. He prefers to be able to grow his beard out. Now, listen, I think that's dopey to begin with. We've both talked about that. It's silly. You don't let the guys grow the beards, whatever. Some guys, it's too much for them. And he goes out to Cali, and now he's chilling the most. I mean, that's,
like of all people, you, I've worked with for a long time. This guy used to let his beard go like a major league pitcher. Carver Hyde shave about once every 3 or 4 weeks. He was looking like a hockey player. He had the whole thing going. He never shaved. Now he's on TV every day, and he has to have the Yankee approach. You got to be, you got to look sharp. You got to wear your tie, your shirt, your sport coat, and everything else. You're in the same boat he was. That guy got out to L.A. He's already growing a beard. He's probably smoking chronic. This guy's getting laid. I mean, everybody's happy. Here, like, you gotta be like Carver. I look at him. He gets on the train. He's mad. He's walking in the city. Yeah. Like, no one's touching me because you look like a guy you don't want to mess with. And meanwhile, he's the nicest guy in the world. But Carver, the worst part of his day is that he has to shave. I never knew that guy to shave once a month when I was on radio with him in New York.
Also didn't help. It didn't help either that a lot of the beard started getting a little white in the middle. So that was also.
Oh, mine. I got it. I'm Santa Claus, bro.
So,
my favorite part of that was when Gallo, the guy was saying something. He's like, calm down, bro.
Yeah, well, Cody Bellinger, I guess, was chanting at him or something because it's the first time the Dodger guys have seen microphones near Gallo since he joined the team. So I guess Bellinger was having a little fun with him, and you could hear him, like, chanting Gallo's name. So he was like, calm down, Belly. Calm down, Belly. That's what Gallo was yelling over there when he stopped the interview. So he's having a good time
Gallo.
Out in Los Angeles.
I really do. I hate him as much as all New York Yankee fans. I hate him, Look, Dad. I don't care what happens to him. I hope he gets hit in the head with a wave.
You're going to hate it even more when he has some big homer for the Dodgers in the NLCS off the bench or something. He's going to have some huge homer.
What about against the Yankees in the World Series? He beats us in Game 7.
Oh,
yeah, look, you talk about a Yankee fan's worst nightmare right there.
That is it, right there.
Braves beat the Red Sox 8-4 last night. The big blow for Atlanta, Marcell Ozuna, 3-run shot, Bally Sports South.
And Ozuna in the box. Swing and a drive. That's hammered toward the monster. And it's gone. 3-run home run for Ozuna.
Yeah, I gave you a throw of Ozuna yesterday.
Yep. I actually did play him, Scotty, for 2-plus total bases last night. Didn't play him for the homer, but I played him at plus 130 for the 2-plus total bases. Also in that game, the Braves called up top prospect Vaughn Grissom after they put Orlando Arcia on the IL. Well, he welcomed himself to the major, Scotty, on Bally Sports South.
And now Grissom facing a left-handed pitcher up for the third time in his big league debut. Swing, high fly ball, deep left field. Vaughn Grissom has homered over the monster.
We've had that a lot this year. The kid from the Dodgers a couple weeks ago, guys in their first game ever in the bigs having a big home run or a big hit.
Yep, it has happened quite a bit. Later on, Scotty, I will give you one or two more from yesterday, and then we have some futures for you. We will do our weekly check-in on all the awards. We will also see the odds for the cornfield game tonight in Dyersville, Iowa, between the Cubs and the Reds. We also have the Orioles and the Red Sox at Fenway tonight as well. So we'll do that later on.
Yeah, and then we got coming up your boy Cancer. Go!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, what do you got for me, Carver High, here?
Well, I just wanted to, and I was going to bring this up to you before, and we ran out of time, and we're waiting here for a moment, so I will, and Mafia reminded me of it. So we were making, you know, the Yankees with their old-timers days, and nobody's at the game anymore. Cohen brought back old-timers day for the Mets for the first time this year. They haven't had old-timers day in, like, 30 years or something like that. It was the last time that they ever had one. And the Met won this year. It looks like what the Yankee one used to be. I mean, there's like 700 guys going to Citi Field that used to play for the Mets. I mean, everybody from like every decade of the last 50 years. So not only has Cohen gone in there, the Mets are playing really well. They've even now, you know, gone on top of the Yankees with the Old Timers Day, which the Yankees were like the gold standard of Old Timers Days in sports. And the Mets are even going to one-up them this year on the Old Timers Day. How about that?
Well, doesn't it seem to you like, I mean, it does me, that Cohen has really, since he bought that team, tried to show up the Yankees. That's like his job now. That's what he does. He goes out and, you know, he gets better players, signs bigger deals, throws his money around, has better marketing, better events. I think the team might very well be better than the Yankees overall. The Yankees don't have Scherzer and DeGrom and Diaz. They don't. Clay Holmes has fallen on his face. Chapman can't get anybody out anymore. And Ace Ventura has 6 earned run innings.
Certainly has. He's also the type of guy, Scotty, where once he wins one, you know, if he wins one in the next year or two, if the Mets end up winning the World Series, he's not going to care that the Yankees have, you know, won 27. Like, that's the Yankee fan thing. If the Mets do well, it's, well, we've won 27 World Championships. Cohen's going to look at it as, yeah, well, it's 1-0 since I've had the team. It's 1-0 since I've been in charge. That's Cohen's the type of guy who will look at it that way. Let me get you through a couple of other things with the baseball. The Padres busted out big time against the Giants yesterday. You were on the over in this game. 13-7. And they had a 6-run inning. They had a 7-run inning. It was all happening. Everybody got involved, including Scotty. Brandon Drury on Bally Sports San Diego going big fly.
Line to left. That ball is back. That ball is gone. A 3-run home run for Brandon Drury. And the Padres take a 9-7 lead with one swing of the bat.
You know, I got to tell you, and I'm sure no one cares, but Brandon Drury has been the best player since the trade deadline. They got all these great Hader, Soto, Bell, Drury. It goes on and on. But Drury, in his first game, had a grand slam, and he's still hitting home runs and raking. And that wasn't all he did in that game yesterday. Drury had a lot more going than that hit.
He certainly did. He was outstanding defensively as well. Great job by him. He's been very good. Soto's heated up a little bit, too, the last two games. Had the homer the other night. Had a bunch of hits yesterday. So Soto finally starting to find his way for the Padres as well. Mets beat the Reds 10-2. We had that yesterday. The Brewers, Scotty, remember Rowdy Tellez tied that game in the ninth yesterday at 3. The Brewers then won it in the 10th with Willie Adames on Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Adames grab ball left field. They're going to send Taylor. Here comes Quinn to the plate. Taylor is safe. Willie Adames walks it off against the Rays.
Yeah, it seems like they're finding their way again after stumbling, you know, and getting swept by the Pirates and losing, and everybody was... It seemed like they were throwing games after they got rid of Hader. The locker room turned on the front office, not on council, but on, you know, those upstairs. And then as far as the Padres go, let's just be clear here. They can't beat the Dodgers. So who cares who they can beat? I mean, they beat everybody else now. They win games every night now. All of a sudden, they're winning. But when it mattered most, what happened? They got swept by the Dodgers. Their entire existence on this earth is to beat the Dodgers and no one else. They don't care about anything else. If you can't beat the Dodgers, you're not winning the World Series. So when you get swept by them and then beat everybody else, who cares?
The Angels beat the A's 5-4 and 12 yesterday. Magnaris Sierra. Who? The go-ahead hit in the 12th for Anaheim on Bally
Sierra
Sports.
Nevada.
Sierra Nevada.
Sierra drives that down the right field line and a fair ball. Oh, this will be fun watching him run. Angels take the lead. He will hold up at second.
Wow, what a swing again.
I think I used to drink that beer, Carver High, Sierra Nevada. Didn't you have a couple of those cold freshies? Yeah,
I don't mind a Sierra Nevada. It's a nice crisp beer. I can definitely get involved with that. There's very few that I would ever turn away. That's
clean.
For sure. A couple of updates with some things going on. The Guardians, Scotty, blew that lead in the ninth inning. They let the Tigers score 2 in the ninth. They have gone to the top of the 10th in Detroit. So the Tigers, very spunky. Here at home today, as Steven blew it for the Guardians. The Royals have extended, now up 3-0 on the White Sox in the bottom of the seventh inning as they continue to just not score any runs. 3 runs for the White Sox, Scotty. I mean, that's going to take a Herculean effort for them today. They can't.
I mean, honestly, how bad do they suck? I mean, honestly, they're hairdryer city. I mean, we're on the verge of giving them a hair club for men's membership.
So if the Royals hold on, they will take 3 out of 4 from the White Sox over the past
couple
of
years. That's the
end of it. That ain't going to get it done. And we talked about this 2.5 weeks ago. White Sox were starting a long stretch against bad teams. Oakland, Colorado, Texas, Kansas City. And it's just they're in the same place. 500. Win one, lose one, win two, lose two, win one. And now they lose 3 out of 4 to the Royals unless they get something going here with 6 outs to play with.
They're done.
In Kansas City. Cardinals have tied up the Rockies 2-2 now, bottom of the fifth. scoreless top of the fourth in Arizona. Brubaker and Kelly throwing zeros.
You're under
up there,
in
Scotty.
The first five. Wasn't that
under,
one of the bets?
Under for the game. I have Pirates win in under 7.5 the game prop. So we're going. I did not go. I went first five in that game last night. Got burned on it because the Pirates scored a whole bunch of runs. But Kelly's got 3 strikeouts already. Brubaker's got 2 strikeouts. So we're working towards a little bit of something in that game. Astros now lead the Rangers 7-0. In the seventh, Bregman, after the 2-run homer, then adds a 2-run single. So Alex Bregman having a big day after Woodward called him a cheater last night and balked him over to third base. He's getting back at him today. Let's start a couple of these awards every week on Coast to Coast. We like to give you the update, Scotty, of what is happening on the award board. And there's starting to be a lot of separation here now for the first time in a while, including in the American League MVP. Judge now, Scotty, has a big lead on the board, minus 550 for Aaron Judge, who hit his 45th yesterday. Ohtani now plus 440. Everybody else out of sight. That's it.
Well, I mean, it's over. This guy's going to go for Maris's record. He's, 16 shy of it, and he's got 45 home runs, and that award's done. That's over with. He's going to get the MVP, and he is going to rake somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million from Hal Steinbrenner. That's all there is to it. And all of these people that keep trying to drum up stories about he's leaving and he's going to end up in San Francisco or wherever the hell else. None of that's happening. He's going to get all the money right here in the Big Apple, in the Boogie Down, guaranteed. That's what's going to happen. That guy, Hal Steinbrenner, and his sister, everyone else, they'll have to go into hiding, like in witness protection, if they lose Aaron Judge to any team in baseball. If they lose him, Hal Steinbrenner's career will be over, and Brian Cashman will also be finished in baseball. That'll be the end of both of them. Mark my words, if they lose this guy, the Yankee fans will turn on both of them like you have never seen. It'll be a bloodletting in the Bronx.
Especially if he were to hit, Scotty, that magical number 62.
Oh, he's going to do that.
62. They actually still have a number on that. Aaron Judge, regular season homers. Remember when we got it at the All-Star break at 49.5? It's now right on that. 61.5. Plus 115 to the over, minus 142 to the under. So for him to hit 62, plus 115. Got 45 right now. Needs 17 more in the last 6 weeks.
Bro, he hits a home run every 3 days at least, every 2 days. The guy hits home runs. And they've got, 8 weeks left. 8 weeks. And they play 6 or 7 days a week, basically till the end of the season. If he hypothetically stays healthy, which he's been pretty healthy, they've given him nights off here and there, right? If this guy plays in 80% of their games, let's say, that's fair enough. Let's say 75, 80% of the games, he's going over that number. I mean, the guy hits too many home runs.
They've got 50 games left. He's got 50 games to hit 17 homers.
If he plays in 40 of them, he's going to hit more than 17. He'll hit 20, 22 home runs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, I don't know if you saw it or not, Carver High, but I think Rebecca Harrelson is in negotiations to have the at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV logo on the World Cup ball in Qatar. Like, so every game when that ball is flying around and headers and corner kicks and in the box and when the goalie has it, at any point at all, you're going to see this beautiful ball in the World Cup, and it's going to say all over the ball, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And that, if she pulls that deal off, they should name her CEO?
Absolutely. You're talking about legitimately the world's biggest event, which will be in 135 degree heat in Qatar coming up at the end of the year. It's just amazing. Yeah, it really is. Amazing that they're going to be playing that World Cup over there. I have more odds for you, our weekly check here on the MLB Awards as we get into the dog days of August, Scotty. National League MVP now. They still have Goldie up there. Paul Goldschmidt at minus 125. Still the leader on the odds board. Our guy Austin Riley, plus 450. I'm glad we got in there when he was 18 and 20 to 1. That's for sure. Freddie Freeman at 8 to 1 right now. I'm not really concerned, Scotty, at this point with anybody else on this list. Alonso, Arenado, Betts, even Machado. I think that it's the kind of the three guys at the top. And honestly, I don't even know if I'm putting Freeman in there right now. I think we got a two-horse race here.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Freddie hasn't done anything spectacular at all lately. And Austin Riley continues to have gigantic games in rake. I won't deny Goldie's numbers have been spectacular. And frankly, so have Arenado's. But for me, you know, it's Austin Riley. And for you, it's Austin Riley. We've been on this guy for a couple months. And we're not Braves fans. And I don't really care about Austin Riley for a lick. But I know that just the season he's having is monstrous and what he's doing. And remember, they didn't have Acuna, then they didn't have Albies, and then they started terribly. And here they are, the World Series champs, and then they turn it around. And now they're, you know, despite losing the 4 of 5 to the Mets, they are a dangerous baseball team. That if they can find a way in, you don't want to face them, in my opinion. And that guy, to me, is the MVP.
I think he has been outstanding. The numbers back it up as well.
He's carried him.
Clinic at Fenway the other night, that's for sure. American League Cy Young Award. We have a new contender, I guess you could say, Scotty, flying up the board. That is Dylan Cease of the White Sox, who is now plus 200, but Verlander now minus money favorite here, minus 155. You have Dirty Harry McClanahan, who has slipped back, Scotty, as he has had a couple of rough outings in the last few weeks. I don't really want to go any deeper than those three right now.
Yeah, look, for me, it's Verlander, done deal. But, you know, yesterday was the first time he didn't look good to me all season. So where does he go from here over the next – how many is he going to get? Four more starts? Five? How's he going to do – I mean, there's only 8 weeks left. He goes once a week. So I want to know, can he close the deal? And I cannot give it to a guy on that bum White Sox team. I just cannot do it. It's like you saying, you know, I am not giving it to a guy on a losing team. You said it a million times. You can't give the MVP to a guy that all they do is lose. He wins, but they lose. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving anything to Dylan Cease or any White Sox.
The National League side, we have had the same leader for a long time now, Scotty, and that is, of course, Sandy Alcantara, who has gotten the job done. It has gotten a little bit shorter. He's gone to minus 250 now. He's in that area. I don't think any of these other guys have had anywhere close to the year that Alcantara's had. Throw 7-8 innings, sometimes 9, every single start out. He's been dominant for the Marlins. I think along with Judge, this is the other one, Scotty, that you can seal it up and put it away.
Yeah, I think that's a done deal because, frankly, he's been so tough and the rest of them, like, you know, legitimately don't even matter. How about your boy Wright on the Braves? He doesn't even get mentioned, and he's already passed Max Fried, in my opinion. And then how about I got to argue about Anderson and Gonsolin. They get no respect either. The whole thing's just, it's done. They're already giving it to Alcantara. They don't even mention guys that have been brilliant for the last 2 months don't even get mentioned in the list. These odds, they come from the toilet.
Finally, for
they're
you.
Horrible.
Odds to win the World Series as we sit here on August the 11th. We have the Dodgers at the favorite, plus 330. Astros have moved ahead of the Yankees. That is the significant move this week, Scotty, for the World Series odds. Me and you thought after they lost that doubleheader that maybe that's when the move should have happened, but now the Astros are ahead of the Yankees, and the Mets now are right behind the Yankees and are about to pass them on the odds board as well.
Well, look, you know, we have talked about this over and over. The top four teams are so close in terms of those prices, those odds. And, you know, I know everybody thinks it's going to be the Padres because they got Soto, but they can't beat the Dodgers. I mean, I need to see them win, like, two in a row against the Dodgers before I believe for 1 minute that I would ever bet on them against the Dodgers in a playoff series. The Dodgers are proving now, without a shadow of a doubt, they are the deepest, best team in baseball. They won so many games without five of their best pitchers in the rotation or in the bullpen, guys injured left and right, and when they were out, they literally won like 28 of 34 ball games. I mean, all they do is win. You said earlier in the show today, they win every game. Not only do they win, but they cover the run line every night.
Cover the run line every night.
I went for it last night with Sonny Gray. I lost again. I mean, the real trick is trying to beat them in a bet as a bettor. I can't beat them in a bet.
Yeah.
I bet on them, you know, six nights a week, and I win. And then I go for it at least once or twice a week. You know I do, to try to beat them. And every time I try to beat them, I lose. How about when the Pirates beat them four straight in L.A.? Explain that to me.
Stunning. Stunning. 10 straight wins, all of them, they've covered the run line. Think about it. They've lost 33 games all year. They're 77-33. And how many of those losses were against the Pirates? You know, think about that. They lost those games to the Pirates. They've only lost 33 games all year. And they lost those games to the Buccos.
And the Cubs, and the Cubs gave them fits. They lost to them, but like every game was like 9-8, you know, 11-9.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had all these wild games against, you know what it is? They just don't care about those games at all against the Pirates and Cubs. And they're like, we're getting paid millions. I am just going out here. I'm going to scratch my onions and eat sunflower seeds.
Those four teams, though, that are at the top, and I know everybody loves upsets and they love to see surprise teams. The Braves were kind of out of nowhere last year when they won the World Series. But you know that Manfred in those suits up there at Major League Baseball, Scotty, if you told them that the final four, you get an NLCS of the Mets and the Dodgers and you get an ALCS of the Yankees and the Astros, in terms of a buzz and rating and, you know, the kind of commotion that would cause, they would absolutely sign. Like, they don't want to see any of those four teams get popped off. Those are the four teams they want at the end.
Well, I've said to you on a number of occasions that it for me, it's the Mets and Dodgers based on the pitching of the Mets and the bullpen with Diaz and having Scherzer and DeGrom. If they are healthy in October and you're playing them in a series, you are going to lose. You will not score runs against them. And that's just all there is to it. And when they get to the ninth inning, even the eighth inning, this guy has turned into a six-out closer, not just a three-out closer, right? So the only teams that I'm willing to – I'm just right now, literally right now, I'm only willing to give Seattle and – the Phillies, an upset-type juice. You know, like giving them a chance to do something special and knock off a Yankee or knock off a Met or knock off something. The Phillies can beat the Cardinals. They can beat the Brewers. They can beat the Padres. The Phillies can beat anybody. The Mets can beat anybody. The Mariners have Robbie Ray and Castillo. and they got bats. And when they get that Rodriguez back, I mean, you know as well as I do that those are good upset teams. So I think there's a chance. Yep. There's a chance for some postseason drama.
No question about that. I would love to see the heavies, though, get there. I think it would add some serious drama to that Final Four ALCS and NLCS if you had them. All right, two games tonight that we have to get to. Everything else we've been talking about in the afternoon. The Orioles and the Red Sox play a one-gamer in Fenway tonight. We mentioned earlier that you get Kramer on the hill for the Orioles. Winchowski's going for the Red Sox. Minus 120 for the Sox. Still no respect for the Orioles, Scotty. They're plus 102 on the dogs tonight at Fenway. The total of 10 in this game.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's going to be 10 runs either. And I'm on the Orioles. And the way they played, and this is another team, you don't want to play them in a wild card. You don't want to play them in a series if they were to win the wild card game. They are tough as hell, and the Red Sox are not. I'm on the Orioles tonight, and that's just all there is to it. My top play today on ForellOnTheBench.com was the Astros, by the way, and they have rolled. And I need, you know, you told me about the Tigers tied up the game. I need the guards to win that game. I need the Cardinals to win that game that they were tied with, too. And one other thing, by the way, I am hearing unbelievable development here. This is unbelievable. Uh-oh. I'm hearing that Andres Canter was going to come on the show, but there are reports from my sources deep in Miami that after Scoop Mesh stole the show today with his brilliant interview talking about Jeter, Kim Ng, the Marlins, World Championships, what's going on in the future, that he'll be on the captain tonight, that it, when he heard Andres Canter was coming on, he lives in the same condo with him down in Miami. I am told by the superintendent of that building that Mish was seen unplugging all of the electricity in Andres Canter's unit. And he is now trying to get the Genrack started up, and he will not be able to come on the show today. And the last thing they saw was Mish down in the bar having a Mai Tai and laughing till the cows came home that he screwed up my interview with the legend. Unbelievable, Scoop Mish. Dirty deeds, thunder cheap.
The Guardians did win in 10 over the Tigers, 4-3. The Guardians win. And the Buccos with a 3-0 lead out in Arizona. The Pirates on top of the Diamondbacks right now. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What time is it? It's time for Today in Carver High History.
Certainly is. 1929, Babe Ruth becomes the first MLB player to hit 500 career home runs. 1961, future Hall of Fame pitcher Warren Spahn gets victory number 300. 1970, Jim Bunning becomes the second Cy Young Award winner to win 100 games in both leagues, AL and NL. 1974, Lee Trevino wins the first of two PGA championships. He beat Jack by a stroke. 84, Carl Lewis duplicates Jesse Owens' fourth Olympic gold medal as part of the 4x100 relay team. 1984, Pernell Whitaker wins the lightweight gold medal at the LA Olympics. Your boy Pernell. 86, Bob Tway beats Greg Norman at the PGA championship. The famous bunker shot on 18. 91, John Daly wins the PGA championship after being an alternate into the field. The big guy, 2003, Herb Brooks, former 1980, of course, U.S. hockey coach, died in a car accident at 66. 2008, Michael Phelps wins the gold medal by 8 seconds in the 4x100 in Beijing. 2012, Usain Bolt. He won like his 7,000th gold medal. 2012, Candace Parker. She led the U.S. women's basketball team. 2013, Jason Duffner wins his first major by winning the PGA Championship. Jeez, your boy Duff, here he is.
Doesn't matter. War Eagle. Jason Duffner has won his first major championship.
It was way better with Daly at Crooked Stick.
Oh, way better for Daly, no doubt. 2016, Michael Phelps and Simone Biles, they won gold medals. 2017, the NFL suspends Ezekiel Elliott 6 games due to the domestic violence. 1 year ago today, Lionel Messi signs a 2-year deal with Paris Saint-Germain after being sent there from Barcelona.
You see that bicycle kick last weekend? What a badass.